Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I'm joined as always by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how's it going?
It's going good, but folks, let me tell you something. We ain't got shit to talk about this week.
It was definitely a quiet 2 weeks. It'll be a pretty quiet 2 weeks coming up, as we are now, I would say, waiting in anticipation for the new year.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of exciting announcements happening, almost exclusively for shows that are not happening in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Mirai's return to Tokyo Joshi.
She's coming back home. Hatman in the dust.
So, we don't have much to talk about. But before we don't talk about things. We got to get the plugs. Of course, follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tame Aimbo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. Did I say that right? I zoned out.
I think you did.
Fully zoned out for that. As I was thinking, I haven't looked at our Apple Podcast in a while. What's our average rating here? Oh, 3.4. Wow, we've really gone up.
Yep.
So thank you to everyone who's given us a 5-star rating and review, because when the show began, we got review bombed.
Yeah.
And our show is at like 2.1 or something. So
I shouldn't be dragged down by Aaron's past mistakes.
All right, so let's just get into what happened in the last 2 weeks. Probably the biggest thing in the past 2 weeks, the Stardom Tag League Finals happened on November 30th.
A period of time so boring, we had to watch the Tag League Finals. We both, as far as I know, we both successfully did not watch any of the rest of the Tag League. Because tag leagues suck, and they always will, and they always have.
Yeah, not a Stardom exclusive issue.
Even when I was like deepest into my New Japan, I would take off the month New Japan fandom. I would take off the month of December because fuck the tag league. Literally, nothing's going to be interesting that happens.
And I would say that watching this finals show, it really felt small time to me.
Yeah.
It feels like, this show is not that important. Even though they did draw over 1,000, just over 1,000 fans. Just the look of the venue and the filming was like, oh, yes, this is not a big thing.
Yeah.
But I guess, Kelly, the important thing, any thoughts on the... They had the semifinal matches, the two semifinal matches, and then the final match of the Goddesses of Stardom Tag League, won by the duo of Aya Sakura and Sayaka Carrara. Kelly, any thoughts on the matches?
I thought the Sakurara defeating Hanako and Megan Bain was a pretty good big versus little match. I enjoyed that. The next match was really not any good at all. Tora and Raka beating Kurogane and Bozilla, like fucking sure, whatever. I don't like putting the champions in the tag league just because you have to have them go far because they're the champions, but then you put them in the finals. And, well, if they lose, cool, we get to see that match again for a tag title shot at some point in their future. And I don't want to see that match again. It was a fine 3.5-star match that I am not pounding down the doors to see again. So I don't care for that. The final, like I said, a fine 3.5-star match, whatever, mostly boring. It was very funny that Tora was blue because of her mist from earlier in the night, and she didn't want to wash her face to ruin her makeup, so she just looked like a Smurf. That was really good. And also, I don't want to see people get thrown into chairs anymore. I'm tired of it. Don't need to get the fans up.
When did that start? Because I know they've been doing it for a while, but it seems like now everyone's like, we're all doing it. Let's go.
Excessive now. Like, it just is all the goddamn time.
It's just so odd because it used to happen very rarely, is maybe not the right word, but less often than it does now.
Yeah.
It feels like they got backstage and everyone was like, we got to do this. Let's all do it.
We got to make those fuckers run.
Yeah, get these people some exercise.
Have you seen our fans? They're fat as shit. We got to make them run.
I would say I really have nothing to say about any of these matches. I thought they were all average at best. I mean, the second match, the Hate and Mi Vida Loca match, is at a 4.88 on Cage Match, which is incredibly low for anything in Stardom.
Yeah.
And especially a match of some significance. Like, I don't know if there's any match I can think of this year from Stardom that would be that low.
Yeah. My favorite part of that match was how Bozilla was selling the mist after the match, where she never like got water to wash her face off. She was just like powering through it and being like, I'm fucking blind, but I'm too strong to wipe my face, so I'm gonna go lead me back to the back.
I'm trying to figure out what is the lowest rated.
Yeah, the, while you're doing that, the best moment of the whole show came in the tag match immediately following the semifinal matches, where Waka got the pin on Rena, and it was awesome. Everyone was shocked. Like, just no one in a million years expected Waka to win that match, and the crowd lost it. Everyone in the ring lost it. It was great. And then Micah came back, and that was fun. That was the most newsworthy match, probably.
Yes, which we will talk about. Her official in-ring return will be happening coming up in the next 2 weeks. I have looked it up on Cage Match. Unsurprisingly.
It's another Tora match?
No. The worst rated match. Now, there's many matches on Cage Match in Stardom that are not rated at all.
Well, yeah.
They don't have enough ratings. This match has a 0.08.
Oof.
And I would say it is the most infamous match in Stardom history. Can you name it?
Is it one of the Rossi Pervert matches? Like, then those.
No, it is infamous for a different reason. not for pervert reasons.
The shoot.
Correct.
I don't know. I'd go higher than a 0.8.
Well, that's at 249 votes.
That's performative star ratings. I'm sorry.
One person gave it a 10. Where is this person? Oh, is it not on here? I'll read all comments. Great. Beautiful match. Beautiful. Oh, boy. Oh, and this is from September 28th of this year. beautiful match, spelled wrong, beautiful, and very respectful and very clean. I don't think this girls doesn't hate each other. I think just they need more performance.
You know, that's a take.
Makes you think.
Makes you think. Many people are saying.
A lot of people are like, it's boring. I'm like, okay.
I feel that match has a floor of 3 stars.
I mean, I haven't watched it in...
No, since it happened. But like, just on intrigue factor alone.
Oh, sure. Just from a view of
what
the hell's going on.
It's a lot like the same where it's like giving 4 stars to the Noah stare down match.
Oh, sure.
It's that kind of vibe where it's like, I don't think I could go below 3 on the shoot incident.
Besides that, I mean, you'll never name this match. Is
it
from
a pervert
October?
Match?
No, it is from October of 2024. Huh. And it is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is a 12 person tag.
I'm going to guess it's some mixture of Hate versus Cosmic Angels.
What was this billed as? Let's see. There are people who are in Cosmic Angels, but wait, where is it? How is this billed? Bring me to the show. Card with guide. No. Okay. No. It was not Cosmic Angels. It was 12-person tag team match. This has a 2.21 from October 5th, 2024. Stardom Nagoya fight. Nagoya Golden fight 2024. Dump Matsumoto, Konami, Momo Watanabe, Natsugatora, Ruaka, and Zap.
Oh, yeah.
Take on the Empress Nexus Venus team of Hanako, Micah, Mina Shirakawa, Rion, Wakasukiyama, and Xena. That was from when they were doing all that promotional stuff with
yes,
the show. Yeah, the Netflix show.
When was that match?
October of 2024.
Okay, I'm seeing if I might have, if I still have my notes.
A shocking number of 2024 and 2025 matches are very low on this list. Let's see.
We might not have reviewed that show.
I mean, they did it also a couple times because also 3.2 from January 3rd, 2025 is another Dump Matsumoto Zap matchup. Oh, I wish I could. So 5.88 actually. What was it? 4.88?
I think so, yeah.
4.88. Okay.
Oh, the one you said it was on January 3rd was the one.
Yeah, 2025.
Okay, that match ruled because that's the one where Daichi bladed.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That one got 5 stars. And Kurara pinned Tora. That match ruled.
Well, the people of Cage Match don't agree with you.
They're wrong, and they're always wrong.
Fellow 4.88s on Cage Match from 2021, Momo Watanabe versus Ruaka versus Saki Kashima.
Yeah, I bet that was bad.
Hazuki and Momo Kogo versus Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa from 2023.
Is that a Stardom in Showcase match?
That is a no. That is a 5-star Grand Prix undercard match.
Well, that's your own fault for watching one of those. You played yourself. You don't get to rate those matches poorly because they're not going to be good, and you should know better.
Miran versus Miyu Amasaki from a 2022 New Blood show. Momo Kogo versus Rani Yagami from 2024, and those are the 4.88s.
All right. So this shares that company.
So there you go. I guess not as low as I thought it would be. There is at least, what is this, 125 matches rated lower than this, which is very shocking. Yeah. And I guess no one was watching back then.
Yeah.
But like the earliest match that is this low is like 2021.
Yeah.
Like there are no bad matches. They never had a bad match before 2021.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
I would think someone would have come in and been like, I dropped in for the show and I fucking hated it. Like,
yeah. I mean, Rossi would agree. All that stuff was great.
What is the lowest rated pre-2020 match? I can't even find any.
Well, other than the
shoot. I mean, I'm assuming you know why? Because they don't have enough ratings.
Yeah, no one was watching.
I'm assuming. Yeah, that would be why. All right. Well, anyway, that burned 10 minutes. But anyway, the tag leagues are over. Hooray.
Thank God.
And I would say don't have to watch the show.
Nope.
Because if you miss the match, you're about to see it again.
Yep.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Best Seller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
Marigold had two shows on December 6th. They had each had a title match on them. They have not aired yet. They're going to be on Wrestle Universe on the 9th. That would be on the matinee show on December 6th for the Marigold United national title, the Pure White Belt. One of my least favorite phrases in all of wrestling. Victoria Yuzuki retaining
the Queen of Aura?
Retaining against Misa Matsui. Oof. And then in the evening, Mayu Iwatani retaining the Marigold Superfly title against Hummingbird.
That one I might actually watch.
Superfly. Because
I feel like Mayu could probably get a good match out of Hummingbird.
Well, you can see on December 9th on Wrestle Universe. Tokyo Joshi had their Ocha Norma Pro show at Korakuen Hall just hours before we recorded this. It is on Wrestle Universe as a pay-per-view for 3,000 yen. I will say they drew 910 fans. So yeah. I'm assuming that's mostly Ocha Norma fans? Question mark?
Maybe.
Does that count as a Tokyo Joshi draw? What do we think?
Sure. I mean, they're teaming up with someone. Why not?
So that probably the most notable thing. I heard that the main event was well liked by some people. I have not seen it yet. Because I didn't want to pay all that money.
Nope.
Main event was Mizuki Suzume and Yuki Arai against Mi Watanabe Toga and Yuki Aino. There was, of course, now we're stuck with this forever, more Iron Man heavy metal weight action.
So did DDT just say, we're done with this, here you take it?
I think DDT at times is like, we don't need it now, like, here you go. Like during WrestleMania when it used to come over like every year and it was like, yeah. Ah, the Young Bucks book has won the title. Like, ah, they're like, yeah, we don't need it. You don't need it 365 days a year.
Yeah.
Which, Kelly, did you see the that Reddit thread about the Smoky Mountain
yes.
wrestling?
That
the
was
Smoky
so
Mountain
good.
Wrestling heavyweight title, which is now intertwined with the Iron Man heavy metalweight title.
That's incredible.
So that was fun. If you haven't seen that, check it out. It's, I don't know, somewhere on Reddit.
Yeah, really well researched, really interesting stuff. I love that kind of linear title stuff like that.
Yes, has been really everywhere in New Japan, in NOAH, in All Japan, in DDT. So a lot of places and very interesting to add and also very funny.
Yeah.
So what else happened? Sendai Girls had a show on the 6th of December. Team 200 Kilogram defeating Red Energy, Miki Iwata and Miyuki Takase to retain the tag titles. And you said, you think I'm retiring soon, but I'm not going to be retiring by losing.
I'm getting buried with this belt.
You think we're going to put over someone before I leave? I don't think so.
Uh-uh. Safest bet in wrestling, Miki Iwata loses.
Yes. She is retiring in, as of this moment, 3 weeks. I don't know that they've announced that Team 200 Kilogram has another title match. I know they have a show where they have a non-title match. So maybe she will retire with the belts. She is facing Hashimoto in her final match on December 28th.
Okay, so Hashimoto is going to beat her and then will become the solo tag team champion. And then will single-handedly defeat Red Energy in their next title shot.
Not out of the realm of possibility.
Nope.
What else? Ice Ribbon had a show on the 24th. It was at Yokohama Radiant Hall, featuring an Ice Infinity title match, Manami Katsu defeating Kirari Wakana. That drew only 134 fans, which I guess is not terrible for that building. But like Dragon Gate, I think when nothing shows, gets like 350.
Yeah. What building was this?
Yokohama Radiant Hall.
Oh,
have you ever been there?
I have not.
Okay. I saw a seedling show there. It's a very odd place because it looks like an office building when you walk in. Like they have a like a greenery wall with a water feature, and you're like, oh,
okay,
this is fun. And then it's like a little conference hall. Yes, I saw Arisa Nakajima get her front teeth knocked out.
Oh, fun.
At that show, because right, that's what it was. Someone did like a splash mountain into a knee lift. Like, did a splash mountain. Arisa flipped over while it was happening and then got kneed in the face.
Ooh.
It looked crazy. It looked amazing, but it was very evident that it was like, whoop, she's hurt. So anyway, as Ice Ribbon heads towards their end of the year Korakuen show, not a great sign that they're drawing less than 150 fans for a title, main event title match.
No, but you know what? They're still alive.
That's right. Don't count them out. They may be down, but they're never
out. Both said they would be long dead by now.
I mean, would anyone blame us for saying that?
No, absolutely not. So I give them a lot of credit for them still running at this time.
And then on December 7th, Kaho Matsushita defeated Miku Kanai to become the number one contender for the Ice Infinity title. That will be the main event of that Korakuen Hall show, at their typical Korakuen Hall show at the end of the year. Kelly, what has been going on in Choco Pro?
All right, in Choco Pro, we got new Asia Dream Tag Champions on their show on the 28th called Rivals. The team of Mia Soy, Mia Yatsuba, and Soy defeating the champions, the Bellflowers, Makoto and Sayaka, in a really good match. Really hard hitting. I do think that Mia Soy needs a better like tag team finisher because I don't think they have one. And Mia's like weird strike to the back of Sayaka's head or whatever was pretty weak looking. But that was really my only complaint in the match was there was a weak finish. Other than that, great match. And this like, okay, so I got a mini rant to go on about this because the post match, the post like, you know how they always have the, hey, everyone's going to get in the ring and talk segment of Choco Pro shows.
Mm-hmm.
This post match, post show thing showed that like wrestling is so fucking easy. And it shouldn't be anywhere near as hard as people make it. So, like, after the match, they talk to the new champions. Mia says they're going to take on all challengers. Soy talks with tears in her eyes about how this is her first title. And even though she's contracted to Evolution, she still loves Choco Pro. So she's going to take this belt as many places as she can and bring back fans with her. And it's like, yeah. That's how you get people invested in new champions. You make they're champions of the people. Like this, those are both great promos from them. And then they set up a new title challenge from Haganeshino and Chie. So that's coming up before the end of the year. And then they started talking about Choco Pro 500, which will be split across three shows. One of them, I think it's the show that'll actually be in like a non dental office venue, but one of the matches will be Chris Brooks versus Minoru Fujita. And let me tell you something, the little promos they cut got me so invested in a match featuring Minoru Fujita in the year 2026. Brooks comes out, says, hey, you know, great, looking forward to the match. The last time we had a match was last October when we were in Kurikan. You know, looking forward to it. And then Fujita takes the mic and talks about how I was like, yeah, last time we had that match was in October. I don't think a single good thing has happened to me since then. He's like, I got hurt. I've had three different surgeries since then. I won a title or two and lost them all. He's like, look, Choco Pro is a place for young women to shine, but also I hope it's a place where an old man that fights and fails and struggles can shine too. That's fucking pro wrestling. Like, there it is. It's right there. It was such a simple promo, but it was so good. And I can't believe I'm excited about a Minoru Fujita match in 2026. Like, wrestling should be so easy, and we make it so hard, you know?
So true. But what is coming up in the next 2 weeks? Well, probably the biggest thing in the next 2 weeks is Stardom has a Korakuen Hall show tomorrow as we record December 8th. Will have already happened by the time this episode is out. The three big things on the show, Mika makes her in-ring return, teaming with Sayori Ino, Sayaka Carrara, and X. Versus Saya Kamatani, Natsuko Tora, Ruaka, and Azusa Inaba. So that will be interesting. Mika's return, an ex.
Tetsuya Naito.
Appearing there. Some Sayori Saya preview.
X is Tetsuya Naito.
We'll see.
I'm calling it now. Calling my shot.
The Artists of Stardom titles will be on the line. Konami, Rina, and Fukigen Death will defend against Hanako, Wakasugiyama, and Rion. And then there will be a number one contenders match for the Wonder of Stardom title for Dream Queendom against Konami. That will be Saya Iida going up against Ami Sorei. So that will be the Korakuen Hall show. Other than that, really, not too much happening. A couple of shows. Oz has a show on the 14th. Tokyo Joshi has a show on the 21st, which is their Christmas show. I don't believe anything's been announced for that yet. Diana will have a show on the 14th featuring a Triple WD title match. Haruka Umasaki defending against Debbie Keitel. There will be an Elizabeth title match on that show. Kyoko Inoue, Jaguar Yokota, and Himiko facing off in a three way match there. Other than that, not much going on as we wait for the big end of the year spectacles to happen. So, Kelly, I throw it over to you for Kelly's Corner.
And I think you know what I'm going to talk about.
I believe I do.
I saw today Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair in theaters, and it was wonderful. It was so good to see those two movies as one, how it was intended. It was awesome to see the Crazy 88s fight in full color instead of black and white. Just what tremendous movies those are that turned into one movie. You are going to see it soon, I know.
I am. I'm seeing it in less than a week.
Nice. So. There. I don't know if you've heard, there is a 15-minute intermission in the middle, which is very nice.
I mean, I would hope there's an intermission in a movie that's 4 hours and 40 minutes long. Or else would just be fleeing the whole movie.
Yeah, it is just like a blank screen that says intermission, so it's not like there's anything playing during it, so you can go do whatever. Do you know anything about Fortnite?
No, I was about to ask, did you stay for the Fortnite credit sequence?
Yeah, there is a post-credit scene that is made to promote the Kill Bill Fortnite crossover. There sure are a whole lot of Fortnite references in it. So if you don't know anything about Fortnite, those will be lost on you.
I will say I did read an article that was like, Quentin Tarantino is horrible because he did this Fortnite thing. Like, it made it seem, because I think the headline of the article is like, Kill Bill is the worst of Quentin Tarantino. And I was like, what? And I clicked on it and they're like, there's a Fortnite after credit sequence. And I'm like, oh, I don't really care about that. I'm like, you're not talking about the movie though, right? And they're like, the movie is amazing, but it's horrible because this Fortnite stuff is at the end. I'm like, I don't really care about that.
No, it's very much like, it looks like he was kind of scraping the bones of an idea that he had for a scene that they never filmed and was just like, all right, we can Fortnite this up and turn it into a little cartoon. And the animation for it's really good. It looks nice. I thought it was funny. I had a good enough time with it. I don't think it's the end of the world that there is a weird post-credits Fortnite thing. But it is incredibly strange that it exists at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's also a movie that's been out now for 22 years, so it's not as if it's like a new movie that's like, why'd you do this?
Oh, and Tarantino also, there is a brief segment with Bill in it, which tells me that this was something that Tarantino had written previously. And he was just like, well, that's how we're going to bridge the gap. Tarantino voices Bill, and it's kind of, it threw me for a sec. I'm like, that's not David Carradine. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's David Carradine. David Carradine himself.
Well, anyway, that is our quick episode about Joshi. But we will be back next time, and we will be back next time not only with what's been happening in Joshi, but we will be back with our year-end award episode.
Woo!
So plenty to look forward to there. What odd and strange award will Kelly think of randomly this year to award?
During the process of the show.
So that will be in 2 weeks. That will be our final show of the year 2025. So until then, enjoy Joshi, and we will see you later.
Go watch a 4.5 hour long movie. Bye, everybody.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling podcasting network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back. Myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.